जयो राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी जयो राधव गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना चीरावन चारी यमुना यमुना चीरावन चारी जयो राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी जयो गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना चीरावन चारी जयो राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी
I'm not going to torture you with the Prema Dhavani prayers again. I don't know where this tradition come from. After the, we just did the full Prema Dhavani like 5 minutes ago, and after the Jayaradha Madhava again Prema Dhavani. Is that tradition in this temple? I don't remember in the other temples. Prabhupada did that, because I don't remember in other temples they're doing that. But every time I feel sorry for those who 70 plus doing again every time. 5 minutes before we did it again, the whole thing. Now we have to do it whole thing again. All right. Purified. Well, yeah. Okay. Even though I'm, you know, young, I still feel like, oh my gosh, again. Okay, anyway. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we continue studying Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 21, entitled Conversation between Manu and Kardama, and today's verse number 15, and we're going to finish today's purport, Yesterday Pushkar Prabhu started the first paragraph and we will continue reading that purport. Tatha sachaham parivodhu kama. Tatha sachaham parivodhu kama. Samana shilam griha medadinum. Samana shilam griha medadinum. Upeivan mulam ashesha mulam. Upeivan mulam ashesha mulam. Durashaya kama dughan gripasya. Durasaya kama dughan gripasya. Tatha sachaham parivodhu kama. Samana shilam griha medadinum. Upeivan mulam ashesha mulam. Durasaya kama dughan gripasya. Please chant. Thank you. So the word meaning, tadha, similarly, saha, myself, cha, also, aham, I, parivo dukamaha, desiring to marry, samana shilam, a girl of like disposition. Grihamedha, in married life. Dhenum, a cow of plenty. Upeivan, have approached. Mulam, the root, lotus feet. Ashesha, of everything. Mulam, the source. Durashayaha, with lustful desire. Kama dugha, yielding all desires. Angripasya, of you who are the three. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Therefore, desiring to marry a girl of like disposition, who may prove to be a veritable cow of plenty in my married life, to satisfy my lustful desire, I too have sought the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the source of everything, for you are like a desire tree. So we continue purport from the second paragraph. Kardama Muni wanted to have a wife of like disposition because a wife is necessary to assist in spiritual and material advancement. It is said that a wife yields the fulfillment of all desires in religion, economic development, and sense gratification. If one has a nice wife, he is to be considered a most fortunate man. In astrology, a man is considered fortunate who has great wealth, very good sons, and very good wife. Of these three, one who has a very good wife is considered the most fortunate. Before marrying, one should select a wife of like disposition and not be enamored by so-called beauty and other attractive features for sense gratification. In the Bhagavatam 12th canto, it is said that in the Kali Yuga, marriage will be based on the consideration of sex life. As soon as there is a deficiency in sex life, the question of divorce will arise. Kardama Muni could have asked his benediction from Uma, for it is recommended in the scriptures that if anyone wants a good wife, he should worship Uma. But he preferred to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead because it is recommended in the Bhagavatam that everyone, whether he is full of desires, has no desire, or desires liberation, should worship the Supreme Lord. Of these three classes of men, one tries to be happy by fulfillment of material desires, another wants to be happy by becoming one with the Supreme, and another, the perfect man, is a devotee. He does not want anything in return from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He only wants to render transcendental love and service. Once again, I want to draw your attention to this sentence. He does not want anything in return from the Personality of Godhead. He only wants to render transcendental love and service. In any case, everyone should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for he will fulfill everyone's desire. The advantage of worshipping the Supreme Person is that even if one has desires for material enjoyment, if he worships Krishna, he will gradually become a pure devotee and have no material and no more material hankering. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you, dear devotees. I would like to thank you for coming here and sacrificing your valuable time in this human form of life for insignificant me to hear some words. Please bless me that I will will say something proper, to find some proper words to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and glorify the Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna, thank you. Yesterday Pushkar Prabhu started the verse, and today we continue. So the I just want to build my class on the purports of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. You know, it's very sweet. You know, it's also another thing that you have to give classes at least once a month. It's like very have a big impetus to study and dive deep into purports of Srila Prabhupada purports and Srila Acharya's purports. You know, if you don't have to explain everything to what you read to others, your reading is superficial, you know. But when you have to study scriptures in order to explain to others, you have to understand yourself in order to explain to others, because you know you can't do it like a parrot doing that. So it's a very I'm very grateful that I have this opportunity to dive deep into this Srila Prabhupada purpose. You have to study it. I remember when many years back when we studied Bhakti Shastri course in Moscow, we, you know, I used to be a brahmachari, and we like 30-40 devotees gathered together, and we lived together for 3 months, and for these 3 months we didn't do anything else but just studying the shastras, and it was so much nectar of it, you know, when you dive deep into this, churning this ocean of Srila Prabhupada's purports, and after you finish, you said, "Oh my God, it's so bad that I have to go back to the external world, because it's, you know, it's like the big ocean of the scriptures, and you just stay on the shore up to your ankles, and you feel like, oh, I'm not, I don't, should I dive deep into this ocean or not?" But when you dive deep, you feel, oh, nice. But when you on the shore, you just feel, oh, it's cold, wind blowing, you know, I don't know what to do. And so if we do the same thing, if we are not dive deep into the ocean of this Vedic scriptures that Srila Prabhupada left us, like Bhagavatam, Chitanchiritamta, Bhagavad Gita, this is actually very sweet nectar. And when we go deeper and deeper, we feel sweetness of this. We feel more and more nourishing. So, and I'm very grateful that I have this opportunity to sit here, and so many great and saintly people, devotees, sitting here, and I have a big privilege to sit here too, and I'm very grateful for that. You know, when I read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur purport to these verses, high appreciation of the devotion of Kardama Muni. You know why? Because he explained that when Kardama Muni explained that he's asking for a wife, calling her like veritable cow for the what's the explanation? Cow of plenty, yeah. So in that means he compare himself to a bull. And the bull, as we know, it's not very smart animal. And because, you know, I need a cow, I'm a bull, so I have to satisfy my lusty desires, like Kardama Muni explained here, yeah? He admit, Pushkar Prabhu yesterday explained also that Kardama Muni, he manifest his humility and honesty that, yes, I have these lusty desires. And I, like Durashaya. Durashaya, you know, Russian word dura also means foolish. he admit himself that he is foolish, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained that he admits himself he is also foolish. He compared himself to a foolish animal like bull. You know, he just the word griha medha. We know what griha medha means. Srila Prabhupada explains that we have two types of devotees, Grihameda and Grihastha. So Kardama Muni, he admits, I'm like Grihameda and I need a cow to satisfy my lusty desires. This is most important, this verse that Kardama Muni said, Durashaya, yeah? But he said, you know, I attained the angripasya, who are desire tree. You know, the Lord, he's like desire tree. He can fulfill any desire he wants up to the liberation and go back to the spiritual world. But what Kardama Muni asked for, he just asked for the wife. So it's not very intelligent request, you know. In his commentary, Vallabha Acharya, he explained that these verses that Kardama Muni praised the Lord explains that each verse he explained, for example, he takes verse number 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. So these verses, Kardama Muni, he glorifies the Lord, but he glorifies the Lord in quality. He prays the Lord in quality of different gunas. So this particular verse prays glorification in Tamaraja guna. So that means mixed with the tamas and rajas, which is worse. Verse mixture of gunas. So verse number 13 is sattva raja, sattva mixed with raja. Let's read to refresh. Verse 13, the great sage Kardama said, O supreme worshipful Lord, my power of sight is now fulfilled, having attained the greatest perfection of the sight of you, who are reservoir of all existence. Through many successive birth of deep meditation, advanced yogi aspire to see your transcendental form. So Vallabha Acharya explained that this is sattva raja. So number 14 verse is a raja. Your lotus feet are the true vessel to take one across the ocean of mundane nations. Only persons deprived of their intelligence by the spell of the deluding energy will worship those feet with the view to attain the trivial and momentary pleasures of sense of the senses, which even persons rotting in the hell can attain. However, my Lord, you are so kind that you bestow mercy upon them. And today's verse, which is Tamaraja. Therefore, desiring to marry a girl of like disposition who may prove to be a veritable cow of plenty in my married life, to satisfy my lustful desire, I too have sought the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the source of everything, for you are like a desired tree. So this is, this is very sad story of the unsuccessful yogi, which Srila Prabhupada describes, Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita. So what does that mean, unsuccessful? Because, for example, you do austerity for 10,000 years, and the fruit of your austerity appear before you. And what you ask, give me the wife. The wife, Maharaj Chitraketu had 10 million wives, still didn't get success in his life. He wasn't satisfied. Saubari Muni, he was meditating for 60,000 years, and he got 50 wives. And we know the end of the story. After the he enjoyed these 50 wives, he felt disgustful after that. He also was very great yogi, and Kardama Muni was a great yogi too. And when I was, when I first time read the third canto, and I was also reading that story, I was kind of puzzled. You did austerity, you saw the Lord, and the Lord appeared before you. And second time, the Lord appeared as a Kapila Dev, and still he have to go back to the forest to meditate. And I was puzzled, everything achieved already. You saw the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord appeared as your son, and you have to go to the forest. I thought, what's the point of going? You can achieve all kinds of benediction from the Lord. So, in other words, Kardama Muni said, that my lustful desires is stronger than you, my Lord. He honestly admits that. Srila Prabhupada explained, he is a pure devotee also, because we admit the pure, one devotee in the beginning of the movement, walking on a beach with Srila Prabhupada, he asked, how many pure devotees on the planet right now? He asked Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, how many devotees in our ISKCON movement? He said, this number. So this is that amount of pure devotees on the planet. So if our intention is pure, we could consider the pure devotee. So Srila Prabhupada explained that, if we have good intention, pure intention, like Srila Rupa Goswami explained, he gave us definition of the pure devotional. Anya bilashita shunyam, jnana karma dhyanavritam, anukulina krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. So bhaktir uttama, the highest stage of bhakti, is a bhakti not mixed with the karma, no jnana, not especially with the sense gratification desires. That is the most highest level of bhakti. And Srila Rupa Goswami explained in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, just Maitreya Muni, he explained later on in the verses, he explained that Kardama Muni was sitting on a bank of Bindu Sarovar. Bindu Sarovar, everybody knows what Bindu Sarovar. It's a lake made out of tears of the Lord. And you know, the Lord appeared before the Kardama Muni, telling, "I'm here, here I am, my dear devotee." And as soon as he heard that he just wants a wife, he starts shedding tears. The Lord shedding tears and saying, "Oh, well, I'm so disappointed with your ultimate desire." Because, you know, the Lord actually wants a relationship with his devotees. But Kardama Muni, he didn't want that relationship. He just wanted a wife. Because of that, the Lord starts shedding tears. The Lord wants us to come back to the spiritual world. And someone might ask, might think that, you know, Kardama Muni, he just followed the order of his father, Brahma. And he's supposed to have a progeny, and he just followed the order of his guru, his father. But Kardama Muni admits in further verses that he explained that, you know, I'm not like Narada Muni or Kumaras. I feel with material desires. Like, you know, and if you have material desire, what in a Gurukula the spiritual master did, when the Brahmacharis was studying in a Gurukula, and the spiritual master, he sees the quality of his disciples, of his subordinates, disciples, he can see the nature of those desires. And sometimes he sees that these disciples could be a Naishtika Brahmachari, and he could be the rest of his life, may live life without going into Grihastha ashram. And another, he sees that this disciple is not ready for the he has a material desire, so he allows him to get married and take a wife and have a children and everything. So the same thing that Lord Brahma, he saw the desires, that's why he gave this order to Kardama Muni to have progeny. And he just, because he has a material desire, yes, please marry and have a wife and have a children, everything. So this is explanation of his desires. But what the pure devotees praying about when we are praying to the Supreme Lord. So Lord Chaitanya taught us in his Shikshashtaka, Nada nam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagatishya kamaye mama janmani janmanishvari bhavatad bhaktira haituki tvai. So Lord Chaitanya, he prayed, oh my Lord, I don't want any followers, I don't want a beautiful woman, I don't want a what else, whatever, wealth and everything. Yeah, I just want service to you, life after life after life, unconditional service. That's what's deep meaning of Lord Chaitanya came. So this is, when we also chant the Hare Krishna mantra, what the Hare Krishna mantra means, my dear Lord, please engage me in your service, selfless service. And the more selfless we will be, the more pure and more dear to the Lord we will be. So of course we shouldn't minimize the position of the great yogi Kardama Muni. He was a great devotee, a great yogi, Maha Yogi. His story is a story of unsuccessful yogi, you know, because he got this udacha. He got his luck, the highest luck, to see the Lord personally, face to face. And he saw the Lord face to face. And, you know, he could start a relationship with the Lord right there and go back to the spiritual world. But he is unsuccessful in that regard that he didn't deactivate his material desire when he saw the Lord. You know, it's happened to Dhruva Maharaj, you know. When the Lord appeared before Dhruva Maharaj, he immediately deactivated his material desire and he said, no, Lord, I don't want any more kingdom like my father or more. No anymore. I just want to see you, that's all. But the Lord said, no, you have this material desire, so you have to rule the world another 36,000 years. The same thing happened to Prahlad Maharaj, you know, when he appeared the Lord appeared before Prahlad Maharaj also, he continued ruling the world and he became a king, and also he ruled for many, many thousands of years. In the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are so many unsuccessful stories too. You know, unsuccessful yogis who didn't reach the Lord. We have to come to the conclusion that so if you have this material desire, you will not achieve success, the highest success of life. And we have so many successful stories also in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam, so many successful stories of it. So we have to, and you know, another point that when the Kardama Muni saw the Lord after the 10,000, Vallabha Acharya actually in his Sri Subhadini explains that he actually meditated not 10,000 years, but 10,000 divine years. So this means not just 10,000 earthly years. So it's, you have to multiply it. One day of heavenly, how much? 1 year here, 1 day there. So for 10,000 years he was meditating, and the Lord appeared, and the Lord didn't even disembark from the Garuda. He didn't come to the Kardama Muni, pat him, said, okay, you did 10,000 years austerity and I'm happy. So he didn't come to and didn't embrace Kardama Muni. He just stood there, and Garuda was flying on one place, flying in the air, and Kardama Muni saw him and gave a prayers, praise the Lord, and then Lord blessed him, okay, have a wife, everything. And you know, one important thing that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura explained, that if the Lord appears before Kardama Muni and tell him, come on, I don't want to give you a wife, you're so foolish, I want to give, but the Lord gave the blessings to give him a wife, because Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura explains, if the Lord will not satisfy our material desires, then we will be depressed and we will leave Krishna consciousness. So that means it's also good, you know, Krishna explained that four kinds of people comes to and become devotee. What's the verse 7:15? Chatur vidha bhajante mam jana sukritino Arjuna arthi artharthi jigyasu gyani cha bharatar shabha. So these four devotees approach the Lord with material desires, And Lord, of course, he will, and you know, the Lord is tricky. You know, he satisfies the desires of material desires of his devotees, but he does it in such a way that he will deactivate later these material desires. Whereas when we ask for material desires of the demigods, our desires is only increasing. And we want more and more and more. Because here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explained that Kardama Muni might ask Mother Uma to have a wife. But no, he approached the Supreme Lord for that purpose. So these four, and yeah, Srila Prabhupada also explained in the previous verse, purports, he explained that there are two kinds of devotees, those who desire material pleasures and those who desire nothing but service to the Lord. So 7:15, seventeen. Yeah, these two devotees explained in the Bhagavad Gita, 7:17 and 7:18. So 7:17 is of this. The one who is in full knowledge and who is always engaged in pure devotional service is the best, for I am very dear to him and he is dear to me. And the verse 18, all these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls who is situated in knowledge of me. I consider to be just my own self. Being engaged in my transcendental service, he is sure to attain me, the highest and most perfect goal. So these two devotees, it's explained that if you have a desire, so this is first category of devotees, those who comes with the material material motives. And the second one is the pure unalloyed devotees who totally dedicate their lives to the Supreme Lord. So they are more dear to Krishna. So what's the most important instruction Krishna gave in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna? Who remembers the most? No. It's 1865. Manmana bhava mad bhakto matyaji mam namaskuru mam evaishisi satyam te pratijani priyosime. Always think of me, worship me, offer me obeisances in such a way you will come to me. So, I remember a couple days ago, Mother Akuti gave a class and she asked at the end of her class, when the yogis see the Lord, what they gonna do later after that? And I was thinking, usually the yogis who meditate and they see the Lord, they, because they according to their rasa, devotee have a relationship with the Lord. So most of the time, the great yogis who meditate on Paramatma, they enchanta rasa. What they can do is only see the Lord. That's all. The Lord sees them, they see the Lord, and they just enjoy, they are derived unlimited pleasure seeing each other. The Lord sees you see the Lord. So this is like Shantarasa. And in the higher degrees of devotion, like we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj explained that actually the real devotion is these four rasas. The Shantarasa is not included in the real devotee. In Vrindavan, there is no actually Shantarasa. Only four rasas, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya there. Shantarasa is not so popular there. So, and you know, the we can see the Lord, and how we can see the Lord. This is also one important thing, that how we can see the Lord. We cannot see the Lord, and of course, our goal is should be to see the Lord face to face. But to see, not just to see the Lord, we want to see the Lord in order to serve the Lord. Not just see, just enjoying seeing, you know. My Lord, please see me. I'm here in front of you. Just see me, I see you. No, the devotee, a real devotee, comes in front of the Lord just to serve Him. And one important thing to we can serve the Lord, Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur explained that if we... I guess it's Vishwan Chakravarti or Shivalabha Acharya or Sridhar Swami explained that in order to satisfy the Lord in full, we have to make three things we can do. The first, he explained that if we get this together, these three things, I will read it to you. I have it in a purport. Hold on. In his Subodhini, he explained that in order to satisfy the Lord, very important virtues we have to have, the devotee. They will give up this world. So another thing, if we have a full vairagya of this material existence, material sense gratifications. The second thing, we have to take full, total refuge in the umbrella of the Lord's lotus feet. So we have to, with the faith, we have to surrender to the Lord. And the third important thing, that at all times they sing with the like-minded devotees of our Lord, glorify the leelas and attributes of the Lord. So that's important thing, with the like-minded devotees. Like-minded devotees means, he explains there also, you know, when you meditate alone and trying to satisfy the Lord, you might have some false ego doing that. Satisfy the Lord, you know, but if you even with the group of somebody who has a false ego, if you glorify the Lord, is also not very good. But if you glorify with the pure devotees, and especially if you have like pure devotion and you strive for pure devotion and gather together with like-minded devotees and you glorify the Lord will be pleased the most out of these three. So, I didn't finish. So, how we can see the Lord, actually? We cannot see the Lord by themselves. We have to see the Lord, like, you know, the whole Vedic scripture explained that this is a Vedanta Darshana. Vedanta Darshana. We study the scriptures, and what we can see, we can get the eyesight to see the Lord. How? Purely with the devotion, how these pure devotees see the Lord, they explain to you, and you read that, and you will see the Lord with the proper attitude, with the proper mood, to see the Lord, and you see the Lord in the real, not like imagination. The Lord appeared before you, just like before we read Srila Prabhupada books, we didn't even know how God exists. What he's wearing, how he's look like, in very little, every small details, explained how the Supreme Lord, how he looks like. So when we are reading that Srila Prabhupada books, now we can get the proper attitude, how we can see the Lord. So this important thing, we have to see through the devotion of the pure devotees. Like in my previous class, I was explained that we have five things, progress of our eyesight, yeah, like pratyaksha, paroksha, aparoksha, adhokshaja, and aprakrita. So this is five stages of elevation of our sight. So we have developed our eyesight in this way properly. We have to study the shastras. We have to dive deep into these shastras in order to understand properly how to see the Lord properly, with which attitude, with the service, not just to see. The pure devotee, he doesn't want just to see the Lord. He wants to see the Lord just to serve Him. So this most important thing, just service. So that's my understanding when I read these purports of these great acharyas. And Srila Prabhupada also. It's very, very sweet and nicely explained in these later verses. So Bhaktimar Maharaj will explain to us, will read to us very sweet purports of Srila Prabhupada. And I don't want to say more about the further verses, but it's so much nectar in it. So actually I based my classes on this one one sentence of Srila Prabhupada. He does not want anything in return from the personality of Godhead. He only wants to render transcendental love and service. That's Srila Prabhupada's purport that I made the base of my class. So I would stop here and thank you very much for your attention. Maybe somebody has questions, comments and everything. And corrections. Thank you. Yes. Yes. He asked about the five levels. So definition of the levels of this scene. Pratyaksha means that I have to see through my senses. First, I use my gross material senses. Paroksha means to see this world through the eyes of the spiritual master or saintly devotees. You repeat what you read. Aparoksha means when you, after reading after some time, you have to get some your own realization. Not like parrot doing like that. You have to progress. So after that, you have your own experience, seeing the world. Adhokshaja means that you already see more like if you have. Like this vision, you already have some. In other words, you have to go deeper in understanding of the Supreme Lord, and you see more clearly. And apratyaksha, aprakrita, means it's a spiritual vision. It's you totally see. It's like pure devotee. He sees this world, not just this world, but he sees the material world as a spiritual world, like Uttamadhikari's vision. You know, he sees everybody is a devotee around me, and this is a creation of God. This is also spiritual world for him. So these levels of seeing. Reference. Jiva Goswami explained in which sandarbha? Yeah, you can search like Jiva Goswami, five perception of vision, like search like that. Yes, Mataji. Yeah, wait for the mic, please.
Thank you for the class. I was just wondering, my understanding is in order to see the Lord, you have to follow the process, you know, the process of bhakti, you know, the whole process. So why is it that the Lord appears for someone, you know, like Hardama Muni or Dhruva who has material desires? They're not... You know, it's not that process.
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, he appears before Kardama Muni because, you know, the Lord is very compassionate. And if you... Of course, the Lord doesn't satisfy just with the austerity, but it Srila Prabhupada explained because Kardama Muni has actually the pure devotion in his heart. He has a devotion in his heart. He's not a regular devotee. He's a great yogi and he has a devotion. And because of that little devotion, the Lord appeared before him. He wouldn't appear before the regular yogi, but only those who has at least little devotion, he might appear. Like he appeared before Narada also. He had some little devotion, but he wasn't pure enough. So he appeared and then he disappeared. And Narada Muni started again meditating, Lord, appear before me, before me again. I want again. But the Lord said, no, you are not pure enough. You will not see me in this lifetime anymore. You have to purify yourself. So in Narada Muni, this is a successful story of Narada Muni, actually. He was successful. Later, he started serving, He was doing in good direction. So after that, when he left this body, he appeared as a Narada Muni. And he was successful in that way.
Thank you.
Yes. Mother Agatmika.
Yeah. So the cause of the Bindu Sarovara was the sad tears of the Lord?
Well,
is there not another explanation that there were tears of joy from
it was tear of joy, yeah. It's Vishwanatha Chakravarti explains, actually it's tear of joy. But, you know, joy and at the same time is sadness, you know. He at first he was joyful, but when he heard the Kardama Muni desire, he said, well, of course, he doesn't want to disappoint Kardama Muni. He smiled, but Acharyas explained it's also, you know, the Lord very sad when he sees material desire in his devotees. So it's like Bindu Sarovar. Yes, Mataji. Yeah.
Thank you for a very nice class. I have a question about this pure versus mixed bhakti. Mm-hmm. It seems
it's like not even bhakti. It's not mixed bhakti. It says Raja Raja, Raja Tama, Sattva Raja, something like that. Mm. Not bhakti.
Okay, right. So you were making this comparison almost in the Gita, or maybe it was different, but then my mind went to the Gita. Also, Kardama Muni was praying. This like whole section of the Bhagavatam is always really confusing to me because he's pure, but he's this, and you know, like this whole thing is, I struggle with this. But so he's praying for a like-minded or a like disposition wife, etc. And he has these material desires, but they're desires for so that he could do his devotional service. So I kind of have two questions. My first question is, also in the Gita, it seems like Krishna has laid out these different paths for Arjuna. Like, this is one thing, jnana. But I think in a previous class this week, it's actually jnana mixed with bhakti, because like all of these paths are a little bit mixed with bhakti, or there's a little bit of bhakti in them. All of these things are like ways to purify still some relationship with Krishna, but ultimately, like, those aren't the best ways. Like, pure devotion is the best way. But it feels like, even with this lila, Kardama Muni, like, oh my gosh, it's so difficult to actually have pure bhakti, and almost like everything.
That Srila Prabhupada explained in the next purport, explained that so difficult to get bhakti, not everybody gets the bhakti.
Yeah, so I kind of always wonder, like, what's our hope?
Our hope is very nicely hope. We have a very good hope because we have an association of devotees. And this is only good hope. We have to stay with the association of devotees. This is our only hope, actually. If we leave association of devotees, we will lose everything.
Yeah. Okay, very nice. I have a second question, if it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's in relation to this section again, like the verses that are going to be coming up with Kardama Muni and his marriage to Devahuti. Mm-hmm. And like, I remember reading this before, and it was almost like he's praying now for like he doesn't say like-minded, but like a like-dispositioned wife. And then it goes into like their marriage where they're just traveling for like years and years and years and years, like 99 years.
Enjoying.
But then it comes to a point where it says, and then she, like, it's time to have, like, it's time now to have a child or children. And so, like, only then do they actually engage in, like, intercourse, it sounds like, to immediately, like, have all of these children, like, right at one time. And then, you know, and then Lord Kapila. So it's just, like, a little bit confusing to me. He's praying for, it doesn't seem like he's just praying for, like, a wife to enjoy. He's praying for him to be able to do his service, but it seems like he's praying in order to do that service, he has this desire to enjoy, which is like that section of their relationship. It's not even like the actual intercourse, just like the grihastha or you know, the enjoying with a wife. So something is not fitting together in my mind with this whole story, and I'm wondering, how do I understand this, like, long marriage of enjoyment, but then only this one intercourse to make all of these children, like, all at the same time? I don't know if my question even makes sense.
It is explained that Kardamuni expanded in nine forms to make nine daughters. Yes, Prangavin Prabhu, remember? He expanded in nine forms to have nine daughters. Well, for me, it's also, you know, it's kind of puzzle story. He's maybe somebody can explain. Yes, Sita dear, you must to explain, please.
You know, correct me on this, you know, because this is a big topic. But it seems the first question, the bhakti is always pure. The bhakti is always pure. But we're the ones who aren't pure. We're the ones who want to mix it. So if we're still contaminated by jnana or karma, you know, you get, you know, bit by bit by bit. The bhakti is always pure. So we don't have to go to zero to 95 million light years in one step, you know, miles an hour. So Krishna gives us this facility to move to, you know, because it's voluntary. You want a little bit, you want half and half, you know. So he'll give us facilities. But the bhakti is not adulterated. Itself. I mean, we, you know, mix in our hearts, but, you know, it's always transcendent.
Yeah. Yes.
And then as far as Kardamuni Muni, I mean, gee whiz, you know, I'll worry about that when I get there kind of thing, you know. I mean, you just add the bhakti, man. You just keep adding as much bhakti as you can. You know, I mean, Kardamuni Muni, however they do marriages up, wherever the heck he's negotiating things, it's like, you know, it's like lifestyles of the rich and famous. You sort of like watch it, but you're never going to get there in this life.
Yeah, we have a different levels of bhakti, yeah. So it's so like step.
Into, you know, facilities and, you know, even in a whole nother realm.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes, Prabhu.
I just had a quick question about, I think you said the four rasas in Vrindavan, and I didn't catch if you shared like the English translation of what those are, and I wanted to hear that.
The four rasas, dasya rasa means servitorship, sakya rasa is friendship, like gopas, and then vatsalya, like parents. Lord's parents, parental love, and Madhurya, like, what's the word, English word? Conjugal love. These four rasas is more popular in Vrindavan. Yes, Prabhu?
So you said that Kardamuni was, he asked Vishnu to satisfy his material desire, but not true that Kardamuni was trying to follow the instruction of his spiritual master? And if that's the case, is that a material desire to want to follow the instruction of the spiritual master?
As far as I properly understood, yes, I explained to that he have to follow the instruction of his spiritual master, but still spiritual master sees if you have a material desire, he engages you accordingly. So if Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, from very beginning he had Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur saw that this is like pure soul, totally no material desires. He couldn't be a Naishtika Brahmachari for his whole life. So he gave him the education of that kind. Well, of course, if we take traditional Gurukula, Guru usually sees the qualities of and he sees the his small children from very beginning. You can see, I mean, the children, what they, and of course the astrology helps a lot with their inclinations. In sannyasi's horoscope, you can see it's vairagya very strong in them. Vairagya stars. So
in the case of Kardama Muni, though, because you said just now that his spiritual master saw that Kardama Muni was a pure devotee and that he should take up this path of a brahmachari, and then he gave him the order.
No, I explained that Kardama Muni admit himself that he has a material desire, so he have to follow the Brahma's order and to have a progeny. So in that way he said, I will be satisfied. I need a wife to satisfy my desires, and I will be. And finally, he reached, he went to the forest, so he meditated and he reached. I don't remember what, because you know, Parikshit Maharaj, he wasn't really interested much in Kardama Muni's story. For example, when Shukadeva Goswami started explaining, come closer to the Krishna's pastimes, and he just mentioned Vasudeva a little bit. Immediately, Parikshit Maharaj said, "And who is that Vasudeva? What kind of austerities he did? What he, which family he from? Give me his whole dynasty, Krishna." But here, Parikshit Maharaj wasn't very interested in asking who that Kardama Muni, what he did, what kind of austerity he did. Immediately he went through another topics. He wasn't really interested in that story of Kardama Muni. And I don't remember after the Kardama Muni went to the forest, what did he achieve? It's explained in Bhagavatam? I don't remember. Nothing. No information about him. Okay, it's time. Thank you very much for your time, precious. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.